Welcome back. We just need the lyrics. We don't really need those guitar riffs, do we? I mean, anyway, the lyrics. It's provocative. Cult of Personality. Welcome to the second hour of the Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Friday, November 9th, 2018. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. I appreciate your patience, but I think this is a real thing. What is going on? What is happening? How do things get better if they do? I've mentioned, as I mentioned yesterday, it's a thing I call Jonah's gospel. Jonah was a reticent messenger for reasons different than you and I. He didn't like the Ninevites, and God said, go tell them yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Jonah basically said, I don't like those guys anyway, so it suits me fine, and tried to run as far away from God as he could. There's no escaping. And one thing led to another, and he eventually wound up at Nineveh. The Bible says that Nineveh was a three-day journey, and he set out one day. So at best, he made it a third of the way through town. And in spite of that lackluster effort, word got back to the king of the judgment of Nineveh by God. And in this hedonistic, what people call secular today, which is, you know, this is a bifurcation fallacy. There's one life, just one, not two. But word got back to the king, and Nineveh repented and had a stay of execution. So I've thought for years, America is very similar. It is Jonah's gospel, yet 40 days and America will be overthrown. It's only a matter of time. Look what's happening. And you can look throughout history, many, many folks have observed for decades now, in particular in America, that empire, conquest of empire, it comes to an end somewhere. And oftentimes, it ends in the hills of Afghanistan on the Afghan-Pakistan border. Yeah, let's just go conquer those people. Nah, it doesn't go so well. Which is interesting. Even Zbigniew Brzezinski glibly intimated back in 1998 in that La Nouvelle Observateur article interview that when the Soviets invaded, well, first of all, he said, you know, we've heard publicly that the official line was, you know, the Soviets invaded and then we helped create the Mujahideen to, you know, this force to repel the Afghan freedom fighters to repel the Soviets. But actually what happened was, what was it, in the summer of, I think, June 79, the CIA et al. And partners and proxies started arming, training, equipping the Afghan Mujahideen, complements of their, you know, I can't even think of the term, poster child recruit, for lack of a better term. Osama bin Laden, recruited from King Abdulaziz's School of Economics and Management, a sort of London School of Economics counterpart. What's a guy like that doing in the hills of Afghanistan? Yeah, right. So that happened in June, and then by December, according to Brzezinski, Carter's national security advisor, the Soviets went, oh, we got to do something about this. And that was what really happened. But after that, he said, so, you know, when we heard that the Soviets had invaded Afghanistan, he said, I called to congratulate Jimmy Carter and say, congratulations, we've given the Soviets their Vietnam War. In other words, this will probably be the downfall of the Soviet Union. And then there was that collapse in 91, not too many years later. What does that tell us about our own entangling alliances in foreign affairs? You know, Vietnam, that was bad for us. Yeah. Catastrophic in many ways. Look what's happening to the Middle East, in the Middle East. And, you know, we're being bled dry. The sentiment around the world, again, Gary Webb, 1998, C-SPAN, Washington Journal. He's asked basically, what do you think about this guy, Bin Laden? Robin Wright's article in the LA Times. Well, you know, Jonathan Quitney wrote a book, Endless Enemies, The Making of an Unfriendly World. And when you go around the world shooting people with American guns and American bullets, you make enemies. It's not good. Especially when it's always for conquest. Even Donald Trump has bragged about that. I would go in and I would bomb them all. I would bomb them to kingdom come. I would take that oil. Have you ever seen, what was it, Exxon or Chevron? I forget that he mentions. They just come in and I would just scoop up all that oil. Really? Just that? Just blatantly, brazenly, openly vocal about hegemony and conquest of empire and stealing other countries' natural resources. I mean, it's just, wow. Look where we're at. And so, you know, we're bragging about this stuff. Brzezinski's bragging to Jimmy Carter. Look what we did. We didn't force the Soviets into Afghanistan, but we created a situation that made it virtually impossible for them not to intervene. I wonder if there could be any payback or blowback in that. What do you think? And then, you know, you go back decades and decades before that, and you learn that, you know, as G. Edward Griffin has reminded us, Miss Catherine Casey, as part of the Reese Committee, discovered from the Carnegie Endowment's own meeting minutes from the very beginning, they were trying to steer America into a perpetual state of war to change America. What kind of change? Norman Dodd found out from Rowan Gaither at the Ford Foundation that, as Gaither put it, we operate at the Ford Foundation on directives that issue from the White House, the substance of which, you know, and so that reminds you of Philip McGahee's or Ralph, excuse me. I think I'm thinking of Philip Marshall. Anyway, Ralph McGahee's words about the CIA. You know, CIA is not now, nor has it ever been, a central intelligence agency. It is the covert action arm of the president's foreign policy advisors. So anyway, Rowan Gaither said, we at the Ford Foundation operate under directives that issue from the White House, the substance of which is to alter life in America as to create a comfortable merger between the United States and the Soviet Union. I think of this conflict that we've been in for decades, so-called. You know, and again, you read Anthony Sutton's work, you understand it's all contrived. For what? And it seems like through a dialectical conflict model, they're being collided together to meld them into, you know, an inseparable, impervious amalgamation. I forget the quote. I'm sure Lark probably knows. The guy who said, you know, when you do that, you climb together, eventually you wind up with an unbreakable, homogeneous mass, so to speak. That's a bad paraphrasing. Anyway, we have all of these things. We know all of these things. But what's been going on? And how does it change? How does it get better, more importantly? Well, Romans 1, vain in their imaginations, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And then God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And it's just downhill from there. Next thing you know, for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Even there, women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And that's, you know, I leave it for the audience to search that out. And then the next thing you know, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I've mentioned it before. So you have verses like Romans 8:28. God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. Or Revelation 21:5, Jesus speaking, "Behold, I make all things new." Perfect tense in the Greek. I'm continually making all things new. In other words, he shows up and things are better. It's, you know, I've said it before. To me, it's the example of the stained glass window. You take a bunch of broken glass. What purpose does it serve? And you reassemble it to tell a story, which is man's homage to God's manifold blessings that we see all around us. Because again, like Romans 1 tells us, it's evident in that which he has made. And this picture is beautiful. It tells a story. It's an homage to the manifold blessing. It's an homage to God. If we're not careful, we start worshiping that stuff. We go down the direction of Romans chapter 1 or Jean Baudrillard's concept in Simulacra and Simulation. Degrees of separation from reality. So God gave them over to a reprobate mind. In other words, when he's around, good things are happening. It's his nature. Revelation 21:5 and other verses seem to indicate to us. But when he says, okay, you know, people, I'm good. And he says, okay, let me know how that works out for you. Nothing good happens, which seems to verify John 15:5. For without me, ye can do nothing, he says. If he leaves, all goodness goes with him. When he's around, things just have a way of working out better. So then what happens? It's this downward spiral. Next thing you know, Romans 1:29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. I'm telling you, is it me or does this sound like, I mean, this should be our constitution in America. This is who we have become, it seems to me. And then the punctuation of it, verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. In other words, they're congratulating and backslapping each other. You too? Yay, yes, do it. So here's one example. I pulled up the video that we're playing, you know, Living Color, Cult of Personality. And the ad that plays, swinging for the other team, that's not spontaneously ambiguous, is it? It's an upsell ad. Upsell the other team. What does that mean? It's not provocative, and there's not a double entendre there at all, is there? It's not spontaneously ambiguous to titillate and try to appeal to the carnal mind at all, is it? So if this battle is not real, what about films like The Devil's Advocate? Here's another one. Al Pacino and Keanu Reeves, Pacino's character from the Wikipedia entry. Pacino's character, Satan, takes the guise of a human lawyer named after the author of Paradise Lost, John Milton. The story and direction contain allusions to Milton's epic, Dante's Inferno, and the legend of Faust, the Faustian bargain, as they call it. An adaptation of Niederman's novel went into development hell during 1990s with Hackford gaining control. Anyway, that's, but you know, why is Hollywood obsessed with this kind of stuff? The Devil's Advocate, Milton's Paradise Lost, Dante's Inferno, you know, the Faustian Bargain. And speaking of Hollywood again, Hosea chapter 1, because there's no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land, there is what? Swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Sounds like a blockbuster movie. How it changes is virtue, morality, and religion, or more appropriately, religion, morality, and virtue. How it changes is politicians. We do not compromise. They do not compromise. If you run for public office, you are uncompromising. The people who would presume to elect, you know, folks are uncompromising. If this person is not of this impeccable character, you do not vote for them. And then we can dispense with the myth of voting. Exodus 18:21. Thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens, who hate the bribe. So, you know, this issue of vanity, Romans chapter 1. Alan Watts has been reminding us for years, the hysterical, attention-seeking psychopath. They're multiplying. They're everywhere these days, aren't they? James reminded us, humble yourselves and he will exalt you. We need to humble ourselves. This vanity being, you know, stamped out in the likeness of the hysterical attention-seeking psychopath, there's nothing virtuous or moral about it. No more graft in politics. And I'm not talking about the technocratic way of getting rid of all of these things, you know, from the technocrat's credo. But, you know, Exodus 18:21, those who hate the bribe. Scientists, stop lying about your work. Doctors, same thing. Stop operating on the basis of graft and corruption. Stop writing articles for medical journals that aren't yours. That, you know, stop putting your name on a ghostwritten article for a pharmaceutical company. Lawyers, stop doing this work for these companies. And people will say, yeah, but these, you know, this has been an issue for, you know, forever. Time immemorial. Yep. This is how it changes. We make these decisions. And who knows? Maybe you're in a situation where if you're protesting certain things and the thugs show up, maybe you behave differently. Maybe it's you're a conscientious objector, and instead of being vitriolic and psychotic, maybe you say, you know, when they say, I remember, this is the last thing I'll say, and then we'll go to the phones. I remember, could have done something better at a protest I was at many years ago. I'll tell you what, and we'll go to the phones right after that. Stick around, I'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Color catalog and bonus gift certificate by Return Mail right away.
Welcome back. So how does it change? How does it get better? That's important, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I'm not fond of what is happening in America, the downward spiral, of course, we're on. There's a concept in the Bible, above reproach, being above reproach. So protesters, last story into the phones. Reminds me of my own experience. I could have done better. So years ago, so protesters, as example, legitimate, not crowds on demand, by the way, not the, you know, the staged stuff that is aired on Tell Live Vision. But when the jackboots arrive, be a conscientious objector, sure, but respectful, moral, virtuous. To me, that's sort of redundant. Remember the images of the 1950s and 60s? How can anyone take you seriously if you don't take yourself seriously? And, you know, that there were, you know, it was a lot of that was staged. Most of that was staged too. But I'm just saying, if you're there in a suit or dress, if you're well-dressed professionally, so to speak, and carry yourself in a dignified manner, and when the jackboots arrive and they say, you know, just something, the exchange could go many ways, but I remember a situation in my own case where, you know, I was encouraged to leave. Sir, you need to leave. You can't be doing this here. So what if I say something like, sir or ma'am, I understand you have a job to do and that you're here and you have a job to do. And basically that job entails that you can't let us do this. And with all due respect, I can't, you know, I essentially have a job to do too. I don't despise you for yours, and therefore, you know, I must continue to do mine. But if, you know, if it escalates, you know, people get arrested, for example, or something, what if you pray for those people while you're, you know, being hauled away? Maybe not vocally, you know, because we're supposed to do that secretly, quietly. It's not supposed to be a public spectacle, but who knows? Who knows? And if people just know, that's the kind of thing that changes hearts, is the point. Judgment doesn't change hearts. When you grasp Romans 5:8, I think it is, right? Then Romans 5:8, right? God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When you get a hold of that, it's crushing. So when the jackboots show up and they've been trained a certain way, if there's any humanity, so to speak, left in them, there's any conscience, any empathy, any of that, the you know, that grace, that mercy, that is what changes hearts. Hopefully that makes sense. To the phones. Rhonda, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hello.
Hey, Rhonda.
Okay.
Didn't hear you for a second.
I didn't know. Yeah.
Yep.
So I listened to your broadcast on Archive yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and very interesting. I'm like, wow, this is a way to learn history, isn't it? Oh, my gosh. But you talked about the statue where gold represented Babylon, silver was Persia, bronze Greece, iron Rome, iron and clay is the European Union. And then... after I watched your suggestion, the Babylon USA movie, well, after that, I didn't hear what you said, so I just went ahead and let it play. But there was something after that. It was called From Babylon to America. It was just a guy talking about, like you do, the Bible and what things mean. It's called a prophecy movie, and I think it's only called that because it was an interpretation of Daniel's dream, right? So he goes into, like, the ten horns, you know, Saxons or English, Franks or French, anyway. And then he talks about how America was created, and all of it points, you know, to Daniel's dream, how the lamb came out of the earth. And then he goes with years. The years was so interesting. How you talked about, I almost felt like I was playing Jeopardy because he would talk about, oh, are you going to break?
Yeah. Yeah, but we'll, okay. We'll continue when we come back. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite, made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle, feeds our body with the nutrients we need to keep healthy. Just listen to what Arthur had to say.
I was just wondering, you're telling me what a great product you have. I had used this about 10 years ago after I had congestive heart failure. And it fixed me up and got me going for the last 10 years. Lately, I've been having hard trouble again, so I placed another order because this was the only thing that ever worked. I just wanted to let you know that you have a great product. Thank you very much.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell five.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself. Don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Friday, November 9th, 2018. And we're on the phones. We have Rhonda in Missouri on the line. Rhonda, thanks for your call. And please continue.
Okay, so I was looking at that, the statue and then the 10 horns. Pretty sure that there might be an answer to immigration in that. I don't know if you know what I mean by that.
Yeah.
How it was all separated. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so and that it's might interesting. Be an that's and probably the subject of an entire broadcast, at least, maybe more, because the way that we learn history, you know, I think it's more instructive to read guys like Toynbee and know, maybe Will and Ariel Durant and Carol Quigley. In other words, the less propagandized version of history, if that makes sense. Because with this other stuff, you know, who is really, is America a proxy? That's a rhetorical question. And who's really pulling the strings and those kinds of things? I mean, we have to look deeper than we are generally encouraged to. Anyway, it's a good point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, it's like almost like the gold Babylon, silver Persia. It's almost like their time has come and gone, or, you know, biblically speaking, as far as like God's hierarchy of who he wants to put in control at different times and, you know, all that. So I think there might be an answer to immigration and all that. But the other thing I was saying, before we went to break, I felt like I was playing Jeopardy. I'm like, oh, I know, because he kept repeating himself and adding something from the book of Daniel. I'm like, oh, is it? No, that's not it.
Right,
it was so much fun to listen to. But he actually, you know, thankfully, he ends up telling you who it is. But by the time he got done with that little horn, he concluded that that was Rome, and it says so. And you know how in the Bible it talks about one day being 1 year, and it ends up to be 1,260 years, and he does the math, because right in the middle of all that, there's the Dark Ages, right? And that's when he got rid of three of those horns. I don't know what they did. They probably what Napoleon did.
Yeah.
Which is said, I don't think so, right? Well, then, you know, he defines terms like you do for those that, you know, aren't really clear on all the definitions of things, but talks about blasphemy and when a man claims to have power to forgive sins and when a man makes himself God. So he's like, who claims to have the power to forgive sins besides God? Well, that would be the Catholic Church with confession, right?
It's an interesting observation, yeah.
Well, so I never liked the idea of going to confession, Chris, because, you know, when you watch TV and there's something on there that offends you, you can turn it off, right? But if you keep watching it, it's going to affect you in some way. Just like, You can't hear somebody tell you a gruesome story that you don't really want to hear, or paint the picture in your head, and then get that out. It's like
the
you're corrupting
cliche,
yourself by listening.
The cliche these days is you can't unhear or unsee that. Yeah.
Right. So how does a man? Well, this might explain why the priests are like they are.
Right.
You know, I mean, I used to know a psychologist and some of the things
again,
he would do, it's like give that, his patients.
That issue specifically, Jesus, the Bible tells us, you know, Hebrews in particular talks about how Jesus is our high priest, our intercessor. Don't need anybody but him. I mentioned 1 Corinthians chapter 2 yesterday, you know, for we have the mind of Christ. So, you know, who's going to instruct him? And there's this constant theme. Don't let anyone get in between you and God. And it goes back to Exodus 20, for example, where Moses comes down with the Ten Commandments and says, guys, let's go talk to God. It's going to be great. And they're terrified because they're convicted in their own hearts, and they say, no, you speak to us, lest we perish, because they don't want that kind of accountability. And so it can be, you know, we want someone in between us and God, or someone like you're talking about, the, you know, his definition of or explaining blasphemy, someone trying to be the intercessor when that's really the role of Christ himself and no one else. So we should always beware, I think, of someone trying to get in between, or if we have the inclination to want to get someone in between us and God, because the Bible tells us that we all are accountable to one, and that's him.
Okay, and
these accountability groups, nonsense. Anyway.
One last point, which I thought was interesting, was he was talking about the end times, and he was talking about his interpretation of the seal of, you know, the mark of the beast and all that. Well, he talked about seals and how does God know who's his? And he talked about how the Roman Church changed services to Sunday, which is sun worship. And if you worship God on Sunday, probably the wrong God, but then, you know, you're not showing God that you believe that you belong to him by worshiping on the Sabbath, which is really Saturday, right? Anyway,
well,
that was his interpretation of it.
That starts to border on legalism, and to me that starts to bleed into Galatians 2, the Judaizers brought in secretly to spy out our liberty and bring us back into bondage. So the short version on the New Testament, you know, discussion as far as that goes, I think really revolves around Romans 14. Or, you know, like Paul put it a couple of times in the New Testament, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. So Romans 14, what can we eat? What do we do? What days do we? Well, you know, he explains all that, you know. So what? One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. Uh-oh, he's who is weak, and that sort of punny, I think. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. And that's a sentiment that is echoed in places like Colossians chapter 2. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. Things which are mere shadows.
Does it say that, really?
Yeah.
Because that's what
things
he,
which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. That's what's important. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's interesting because he was just kind of implying that, and this is just me telling you what he was saying, that in the end times that you know, and his interpretation was that Italy, or Rome, I should say, the Pope, would make it so it's mandatory. You probably heard this before. Mandatory to worship on Sunday only, day of rest, to be with your family on Saturday. But God, you know, created he rested on the seventh day, which is some Saturday. Or anyway, it's all very interesting. But I was like, he was talking about blue laws. I'm like, we already been there and done that. Remember the blue laws, Chris? Are you old enough?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
where they, you know, I remember growing up and I'm like, why can't we buy anything on Sunday?
Yeah.
Why are the stores closed? But that lasted for a while until who? What? Who was the president? Was it Reagan or Carter? I don't know.
Yeah,
anyway,
I
don't know if you're interested in this guy. He'd probably bore you a little bit because you're more knowledgeable, but you might want to skip to the end and see his little summary of it because that's... Anyway, his whole unpacking of how we got where we are. And I had that thought about immigration with all the different, you know, places and people. So anyway, that's all
right
I
on.
Had for you, Chris. All right. Thank
cool.
you for taking my
thanks.
Call. All right.
You bet.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, Rhonda.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of Rome and the Roman Church, you can't help but be reminded of Hyslop's Two Babylons, you know, in light of the subject matter of the last couple of days. Real quick before we go back to the phones. So, you know, if this battle that I mentioned yesterday and talked about today too is not real, the spiritual battle that's driving what is sort of happening in this physical realm that we see with our eyes, if it's not real, then why does the Bible say in Revelation 13:16, he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads? That's scary. That's weird. Who would do that? So if this battle is not real, why does the Bible say that? And that was written a long time ago. And then in 1999, Ray Kurzweil publishes The Age of Spiritual Machines. And in chapter 11, titled 2029, the, you know, things to come as he sees it, he writes, direct neural pathways have been perfected by 2029. He expects this to happen. Direct neural pathways have been perfected for high bandwidth connection to the human brain. This allows bypassing certain neural regions. For example, visual pattern recognition, long-term memory, and augmenting or replacing the functions of these regions with computing performed either in a neural implant or externally. Did you catch that? That's terrifying. Never mind the fact that the technology is harmful to your health. Never mind the fact that you can literally control people's behavior with that technology. That's a proven fact, established for decades. So why? Why does the Bible say that in Revelation 13, 16? And why did Ray Kurzweil write that? If the struggle is not real, y'all, I know I shouldn't, but I did. Back to the phones. Jenna in Washington, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Station. Good morning. This week, 1631 did not pass here in Washington, but in the news, the wildfires are burning paradise. And, you know, people are losing lives, getting trapped, and that has been, like, California's been the food producer of the country, so of course I'm going to talk to that.
I remember hearing that where Dodger Stadium is in Los Angeles used to, not too many decades ago, be the farmer's market.
Yeah.
Just as a contrast to your point,
yeah.
You know, a contrast to where we are today. Anyway.
Right. And with our push for reducing fire loads in the woods and trying to contact the right people to get them to listen, I was sending off emails to the lands commissioner, Hillary Franz, because she actually did meet on topic on biochar with a local tree farmer, which I thought, wow, now that 1631 dropped, are they going to drop at all? But we just spoke with him, and he said, no, there's a vacuum of interest of solving this problem, and now there's a fire. And we did participate in a demonstration in hopes of getting some young people out there on the farmland. And there was one teenager that did show up, and she saw the demonstration. I did put the video documentation on the chat, intentional mm-hmm. burn. And the newness in understanding what we can do with the creation that we have and how to service the land and do right by the land. It seems to all be fitting together in our world and how we see, well, reduce the fire load, use the biochar, resupply the soil, you know, just cultivate the soil and put that intention into sustaining ourselves with finding nutrients again so we can keep our faculties. Because the pineal gland, that's in the forehead. And I was listening to Tony Pantelaresco, and he has been suffering for years with this nanotech toxicology pulling stuff out of his forehead because it's accumulating there. And then also with the real ID and vein recognition in the hands and how that is already being implemented in India, where people won't be able to access their accounts without the biometric identity, because Bitcoin was crashed there. So I had that PDF come my way, and I was blown away again. But back to the culture wars of fuel and, you know, Afghan oil, but it takes 200 gallons to use a logging operation, you know, it burns up lots of fuel to log in an operation, so small scale, independent, and we're making these connections, and we're getting a bigger picture, you know, because all of this information is coming and going really fast, but recognizing the seasonal cycles And there were hay bales all over in the farmland at this demonstration. And it's opportunity to dry up brush to make biochar at the same time, part of the seasonal cycle.
Yep.
I hear that.
Yep. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Friday, November 9th, 2018. We're on the phones. Jenna.
Well, one thing I wanted to say to Rhonda, the garden never closes. stores might close, but the garden doesn't if you're in it. And then the other point that I wanted to make was this tree guy that has the tree farm, he's working with the lands commissioner to do a demonstration slash pile burn on public land and gain an exemption for with the air quality people, which is forward movement. Because what that, yeah, if there's a bunch of money to reduce wildfires, if it's used with discernment, with the information that's new now, make biochar, amend the soil, but it refreshes the intent because you're not just letting it go to waste. Having a fire not to destroy, but for, you know, purpose. Right. I think that's those key ideas getting exchanged, have been exchanged. So I'm not throwing up my arms yet, not giving up.
Right on. Well, that's good. That's encouraging. Thanks, Jenna.
Well, sure.
Appreciate it, as always. I hope folks will investigate further. We're at the end of the broadcast today, and I think I'll close with Dietrich Bonhoeffer's words, who paid the ultimate price for his stand against evil. Bonhoeffer wrote, "The will of God to which the law gives expression is that men should defeat their enemies by loving them. Love for the sinner is ominously close to love of the sin, but the love of Christ for the sinner in itself is the condemnation of sin." And he also wrote, "When we have been silent witness of evil deeds, witnesses of evil deeds. We have been drenched by many storms. Are we still of any use?" Which circles back around to, you know, how does it change? How does it improve? Are we still of any use? What we shall need is not geniuses or cynics or misanthropes or clever tacticians, but plain, honest, straightforward men. Will our inward power of resistance be strong enough and our honesty with ourselves remorseless enough for us to find our way back to simplicity and straightforwardness? I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. I hope you have a great weekend. Take care, God bless, and we'll catch you on the other side.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.